Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, do you ever feel overwhelmed? Because I certainly do by life online. Well, my next guest might have some tips to make it all just a little bit more manageable. Emma Gannon made her name as an internet advocate. So why is her book called Disconnected? Well, let's find out. Emma, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm excellent. So for anyone who might not know, I suppose you're a millennial who made your name as an internet savvy businesswoman. So when did you decide to take a stand against the algorithms?
Yeah, so my career did start online and I'm a massive fan of the internet. Obviously, it's helped me grow my career. I've made loads of friends. It's all great. But I think after the pandemic, we're still in it, but sort of reflecting on those 2 years, I felt that everything had changed for me. I felt like I was, reduced to just being behind a screen. I felt like I was being quite robotic. I felt myself performing who I was more than ever before, and just felt really sort of unhuman in many ways. And talking to friends and the anecdotes and all the research suggested a lot of us were feeling like that. So instead of logging off forever and chucking my laptop out of the window, I wanted to readdress it and get some balance back.
I think that that's an incredibly sensible thing to do, because the idea of, chuck the laptop out the window, or just, smash up the mobile phone, completely disconnect yourself, is just not realistic. I think digital detox full stop is a bit unrealistic for most of us, probably.
Yes, definitely. There was actually a 2019 study that said digital detoxes don't actually work, and they kind of reinforce the problem, which is that we feel addicted, but going cold turkey can actually make us more anxious and therefore more reliant on it. So I think it's finding that middle ground, like you say, and that's why in the book I do give these tips sort of around micro detoxes, like how do you every day feel better about your life rather than planning this massive overwhelming to-do list that you can't get through.
Do you know what I hate? I hate at the end of the day or first thing in the morning when my phone tells me how much time I've spent on each app, because no matter how hard I try to convince myself that I'm using it in a healthy way and I'm not that addicted to it, then my phone tells me exactly how addicted to it I am. And I find it quite frightening because it's obviously not real life. And there's actually a line in the book that sums it up for me where you say, you wouldn't go to a pub where people were shouting and threatening to kill you. So why would you want to hang out with someone like that online?
Yes, and I'm trying to use analogies with this book because, a lot of millennials now or younger are looking at the way they are drinking. They're looking at drinking culture and how to maybe drink less, and looking at that industry and how much, we have become very normalized, very sort of addicted to the casual drinking culture. And I think it's exactly the same with our phones. I think we've normalized this addiction that isn't really that normal when you look at it, and it is detrimental. So I think it's the awareness. It's not about feeling guilty. These apps have made us feel addicted, so therefore there's nothing wrong with us or being addicted. It's just kind of looking at it and renegotiating our relationship with it.
But why do we keep going back to it when it brings such negativity into our lives?
Well, there's a quote from Oliver Berkman that I include in the book, who's an amazing Guardian journalist. He writes about productivity culture mainly, but he seems to think that a lot of it is that we kind of like being distracted. We numb ourselves by being on our phones, and because it's the easier option. The harder option is to sit with our discomfort, to sit with the quiet, to sit with the anxiety of the world right now. And so, refreshing our phone, it's a way to escape that.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing is actually exactly what I do in the evenings when I'm sitting in bed and my brain is so mushy that I'm like, I can't even focus on a television show. I'm literally, all I can do is scroll through Instagram. And I find sometimes it's the only way that I feel like I'm shutting off, but it's definitely not the best way to do it. So in your opinion, what are the things that you want to reconnect with and, I suppose, disconnect with?
Well, I want to reconnect with the reasons I'm using my phone. So a lot of that, what you just described, is quite passive. You're kind of just falling into that hole. Whereas I know people who block out an hour in the day to scroll through memes and laugh and find, you know, watch comedy on TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
To me, that's quite healthy because that's active. That I'm going to pick up my phone for an hour and actually do this, and I'm in control of it.
Mm.
I think I'm trying to reconnect with that side of making time to email back friends, like long emails, or reconnect with people in a more meaningful way. And I'm trying to disconnect from that feeling of kind of being a little bit out of control, because it's quite scary.
It is quite scary. And I think what's even scarier are the people who still don't get the message about not being nasty to people online. Like you said at the beginning of this interview, you mentioned that we all just see each other as avatars and pixels. And I think there are still shockingly so many people who treat people like that online and feel, oh, it's just a picture or an avatar, which means I can be rude and mean to them. But there's a real person behind that. You know, do you think there's a difference between an online persona and a real life persona?
Well, I think what's been interesting during the past 2 years is us finally coming to terms with the fact that online life is a massive part of our lives for everyone. We spend so much time on screens, and now we're working from home more than ever. We can't now deny the fact that online life and offline life are exactly the same. If we treat people badly on the internet, that means that we treat people badly. I think we can't kind of separate them out anymore and be like, oh, that's just like me being online, that's not the real me or whatever. I think we need to kind of understand that we now have a virtual self, and that is part of who we are as an identity. And so in the book, I actually have a chapter on online citizenship. How are you being a good citizen on the internet?
Mm.
And I think it's really urgent because, like you say, the amount of abuse on the internet and the platforms aren't doing too much to stop it. And it's worse for women. We know that it's worse for women of color and trans women. I mean, it's pretty brutal out there. And if we want people to have healthier lives, we need to look at the way people are treating each other online.
Absolutely. I always would use the analogy of, would you speak to your mother like that? Or would you speak to your father like that? Or would you speak to your brother or your sister like that? And if you wouldn't, then you probably shouldn't be saying it to somebody online. I think we all need to learn something from that. We need to have better conversations online.
Yeah. And on the positive side, I've realised that the smallest bit of kindness can actually go really, really far. Just checking in with someone who looks like they're having a great time on Instagram, because we've seen research that actually correlates to the more showing off people do, or the more selfies, or the more couple pictures, the more that person might actually be kind of crying out for a little bit of attention or needing some help.
Mm.
And so therefore, I've really found that fascinating. And I think it's interesting just how much a nice comment can really make someone's day.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating, because I think people also, when it comes to people who do post an awful lot of selfies or, you know, relationship stuff, people are so quickly to jump on them and go, oh my God, she's got such a big ego, and so there's, or he's so up himself. When in actual fact, like you're saying, maybe they're incredibly insecure, and maybe rather than judging them, show them a little bit of kindness.
Definitely. There was actually a mental health awareness campaign a few years ago where people were encouraged to share a really happy photo that was on their phone reel during a bad week. And so just to highlight the fact that a photo just really isn't the full story ever. And even though we know that as human beings, we know that it's just a picture, and we know that in the corner of the room there's probably a screaming child or a bag of laundry or something, it's really hard for our brain to kind of compute that. So I think it's just reminding ourselves that we really are all human.
So how could we, before I let you go, it's obviously coming up to the end of lockdown now. We all feel like maybe this is a good time for us to reset. How can we use this time to do that?
Yes, definitely. I think it's a great time to do that. I'm a big fan of the Marie Kondo technique, but not just to my, you know, clearing out my fridge or clearing out my attic. It's more cleaning out my phone and what I'm following and what I'm, you know, I think we change all the time. So something that you found inspirational a year ago might actually not be inspiring you anymore. So finding new things that suit you, reaching out to old friends, you know, making sure that you really have people around you who are your real friends, not just kind of online acquaintances. Noticing if you're doom scrolling, which is, I think, one of the dictionary's favorite words at the moment. So just noticing, like we were saying earlier, kind of, are you going into a bit of a hole? Are you in control, or are you in sort of a bit of a rabbit hole with what you're looking at?
Yeah,
and,
that's me.
One thing that I really enjoy doing at the moment is having offline weekends if I can. So in the week, obviously, I need to be online and have a job and all the rest of it. But at the weekends, I find switching off a lot easier and I feel great on the Monday.
I think that's a great idea. Just even having that small bit of time, just a little slice of time to just be with yourself in the real world. Emma, thanks so much for talking to me today. Emma Gannon's new book, Disconnected, How to Stay Human in an Online World, is out now in real shops in the real world and wherever you can get it online.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.